don't need to hear me. They need to hear the word of God. They need to hear the revelation that comes from you, God, to your people. And so, Lord, may I decrease and you increase, and Holy Spirit, have your way. As these words are spoken this morning, Father, I pray those that are out there to hear what is being said to them personally, God, because this is a personal message to each one of us, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking about learning how to love. I think sometimes we've forgotten how to love, and so the Bible teaches us how to do that. And today I want to talk about compassion. Compassion is love that flows out of one's heart toward a hurting person and desires to meet their needs. I want you to think about what compassion is. If there's a hurting person somewhere out there, compassion is one of those attributes that God places within us that goes out to a hurting person, not just to say, oh, I'm sorry that you're hurting, but also to meet the need. If at all possible, if you can meet that need without calling somebody else up to give or to minister to or to pray, oh, so-and-so will be better to pray with you. No, why don't you pray with me? The simplest of prayers reaches God's heart. Compassion is going out to meet that need. It's not just a feeling of love that's inside of you. Oh, I love that person. It is projecting that love from the inside to the outside. So it's not enough just to have compassion on the inside and nobody knows about it. Compassion is basically expressed. It's projecting that feeling of love that you have for that person that's in that circumstance or situation or whatever, and it's projecting it from what God is putting in you. It's got to get out. It's kind of like the words. We can't witness to people unless it gets on the outside. The problem is what people see in the world today on the outside isn't so great all the time. If we look like the world and we're professing to be a Christian, don't tell them you're a Christian. Because the real witness comes when we have a genuine relationship. And the genuine relationship is reflected in not just our speech, but in our hands and feet. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. Anybody can say, oh, I believe in God. The devil knows God. He's read it from front to back, I'm sure, and stuff. But he just refuses to do what he says. So we have to understand that compassion is the same way. It's great to have compassion, but unless you project that, unless you're meeting a need, unless you're getting it from the inside to the outside, then compassion really is an idle feeling, if you want to call it, or a gift that God gives you on the inside. So you're not just, I put it this way, you're not just an adjective, you're a verb. Right? Compassion isn't just an adjective, it's a verb, it's action. It's action. The compassion of Christ did what? It moved him towards the sufferer. And what happened? Released the power that removed the defect, or it was a demon in that individual's life. It could have been somebody who needed to be delivered or healed. When his compassion, remember when Jesus said, and his compassion went out, what happened? Power was released from Jesus when his compassion was released and his love was released. Well, folks, we're made in his image. He sent the Holy Spirit to you if you're a Christian. Same power, you sing it in the song, that rose Jesus from the grave lives in you. So when your compassion is activated and you project it and you make that move, because it all is initiated by your what? Your will. You have a choice. God didn't make a robot. We all have freedom of choice. You make a choice to be compassionate. Don't wait for the feeling to come. Start acting on it. Later the feeling will come. Same thing with praying for people on the spot. Don't, oh, I got to find a prayer warrior because this person's sick and I'm just not mature enough. Yes, you are. You're a Christian. Lay hands on them and pray. Amen. It's then God's responsibility. Amen. He's going to heal them right then and there, or you know what? On the way down the road, or you know what? 3 days later, or you know, like when Daniel prayed, it took 21 days. Why? I don't know, but there's a war in heaven that goes on our behalf. Angels are released, and they're fighting with these demonic forces. So don't put God on a timer. You can't put him on one of those things and go, okay, I expect healing in 2 seconds. A lot of times it happens, a lot of times it doesn't. Don't get down on God for that. There's things going on in the heavenlies we just don't know. Amen. And we're never going to know, and I'm okay with that. Yes. I'm glad I don't know everything about God, because he's God and we're not. Yes. Compassion works the same way. The wonderful ability to transmit love and make complete strangers open up to Jesus, right? When his compassion was working, complete strangers opened up to him. I'm telling you, if you go into Walmart, if you go someplace and you have compassion on people and you have an interest in people, and they can, you don't even have to say a word, they can just see the love in you. God wired us all as humans, whether you accept Christ or not, they're going to respond. Sometimes with anger, because that's all they know, and that's all they've ever had. But out of that anger, the more Christians that continue to throw the love that way, the love keeps banging away and chipping away and chipping away at that hard heart. And eventually, boom. And for some, never, unfortunately. But that doesn't take the responsibility away from us to be compassionate, even towards those that persecute us, even those that we don't like very much. God said we didn't have to like everybody. Told us we had to love everybody, though. Okay? Yes. And there's a difference. So Jesus had this wonderful ability to transmit love. And, you know, he could disarm them with a gaze. Remember? All he had to do is look. He would just look at somebody, and it would disarm them. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, like people like me, I guess, back in those days or whatever, that were religious and were into theology and making sure you're getting every I dotted and every T crossed instead of just preaching the love of Jesus Christ and just go out and be Jesus. Love God, love you know, your neighbor, and you've fulfilled everything. Jesus would just look at people. The Pharisees and Sadducees wouldn't know what to say. They came with these questions to trap them, and he'd just kind of look at them. And he'd just give them a statement, and they just walk away. Well, we can do the same thing. We can give people a look of compassion, and I guarantee you that person's going to look, and they're just going to, you know what happens. You've seen people do that. They're just going to, maybe all of a sudden they'll just start yapping at you at the airport. Or they'll go in Walmart, they'll come up to you and say something. Well, can you pray for this? Or you might go up to somebody and say, can I just pray with you? And you do it with compassion. You just don't, hey, can I pray with you? Probably going to walk the other way. But, you know, hey, I just noticed that you look like you're hurting. I mean, I could be wrong, and I'll just walk away if not, but can I pray with you? That would change the world. Amen. We have to learn to be, it's called discerning. We can't be the Bible-thumping Christians that are trying to get in the front door and shoving it down people's throat. Just love them, and they'll want to receive it. And if they don't, he just said, shake the dust off your feet and move on to the next person. There's billions of people in the world. Trust me, you won't run out of opportunities. Amen. Of course, love moves God to move in power because love is the catalyst which releases faith. That's big. Love is the catalyst. That's kind of the energizer, if you will, that releases faith, which in turn releases power. Okay, love, when you start loving on people, you begin to increase their most holy faith. They know somebody cares. They know daddy cares because you care. And you're representing daddy. So you're saying, well, you know what? My father in heaven really loves you. He told me to come up to you and he wants me to pray with you. And all of a sudden, you know, they begin to believe. And when you start to believe, by faith, you can move mountains, the Bible says. Obviously, it's a metaphor, meaning that whatever, nothing is impossible with God. People can be healed spontaneously. There are miracles that are being done out there. But the enemy does some of those things too, so you have to be wise and discerning. In other words, faith works through love. Faith is activated, it's a catalyst, it works through love. How do I know that? Galatians 5:6. We got to go to the Word. You don't want to just take my word for it. Take God's word. Galatians 5:6. Okay. I can go to Galatians 5:6. We're having trouble with it. Give me that back wall, that'll be helpful. Okay. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. That means, you know, the Old Testament, the law, doing this, doing that, and you'll be okay with God. Right. You know, we're not in that anymore. Aren't you glad? Yes. That we don't have to sit there and sacrifice slit animals' throats, you know, the innocent bloods of a lamb and all that stuff. And you know, they had to keep the lamb in the house for a while so you'd learn to love the lamb, and then they would slit its throat. It wasn't just taking a lamb and slitting its throat. It was your pet for a while, and then you had to do it because God wanted you to know the impact of what love is going to do for you when Jesus did it on the cross. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. In other words, faith working through love. We build up each other's faith by loving each other. It's terrible to be an isolated Christian. It's terrible to be alone as a Christian. Because you know what? I screw up. I need accountability in my life. One of them's sitting right there. He comes up every 3 months. Praise God for these two that come up to help support me every 3 months just to put their arms around me and say, you know what? We're with you. God's with you. We're here to support you any way you need me. We need people like that in our lives. Because, you know, we're going to get picked off. We're going to get isolated. We get the water down a little bit, you know. Things start slipping up, and we just start getting further and further away from God. We need accountability partners. Say, hey, have you read the Word this morning? Have you been in Word? Have you been praying? No? Then don't get on them and say, oh, my God, Haven't been praying. Why don't we get together, you know, once a week for 20 minutes and just do a little devotional together? You know, just start, kickstart. Hey, can I call you like on Thursday morning? Just make sure you've been getting in the Word. Just so you have something to get you back and stay, you know. Your time will get consumed by the world if you let it. Yes. You have to make time for God. That's terrible, isn't it? Yes. Days of old, we didn't have all the stuff we have today. So they were sheep herders and stuff like that. And, you know, all day long, besides doing that kind of stuff, you know, they had each other. They lived in communities. They didn't live 1,000 states apart. They were all families that lived together. Well, we live in a different mode, a different society. It is different now. Of course, cell phones and, you know, internet and every other computer kind of thing we have. But you know what? I'm tired of talking to people through computers. I like looking at you face to face, Dr. Box. For another 18 years? Dr. Box is 102, by the way. And we're going to make it to 120, right? I'm believing my love is going out to you because I want you around. I love you that much that I want him around for 120 years. And that's what the Bible promises us. Because you're living the life. Because he's walking with the Lord. And he's intimate. And he's loving God. Faith working through love. The word working in this passage here is the Greek word for energy. Faith is energized, activated, and made operational by love. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Pursue love, this is what God tells us, right? Yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Okay, we can desire spiritual gifts, right? But what are we supposed to pursue? Love. Why? Because when you get to heaven, as Richard has just done previously to us, when you get there, you're not going to need any gifts. Okay, you're going to have arrived. You won't need spiritual gifts. Those are for you down here so you could do work, God's work down here. When you're with him, you're not going to need it. Right? You're going to need to prophesy when you're up there? No, because you're going to already be there. That's why he says, now abideth faith, hope, and love. Hope is the word expectation. There's nothing more to expect. We're going to arrive. What's going to last in eternity is love. That's why he says you can wrap up the whole law in this. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And if we will love people, and that means all people, then we will have fulfilled God's requirements. Amen. And so that's what we want to pursue. It's great that you can get up here and maybe lay hands on the sick or miracles or speak in tongues or interpretation of tongues. All these things Paul said the church will operate in. But you know what? That's nice. That's for us right now, to edify and to build up and stuff. But love is everlasting. That's going to extend beyond you standing up here for 5 minutes at an altar in a church service. It's going to go out to Walmart. It's going to go across the sea to Africa. It's going to go everywhere. Love will travel. If you're traveling, love will travel with you. Your gifts, they're at the discretion of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't decide to do a work somewhere. You can lay hands all day on somebody, but it's not you that's doing the healing. It's the Holy Spirit through you that's doing the healing. So just make sure you're loving people. Again, this might explain why so many Spirit-filled believers only observe a few, if any, miracles through them. Think about it. If love is the catalyst to the works, right, the miracles and the healing and stuff like that, maybe the church is experiencing a decline in the amount of miracles and things that we're seeing because we're not pure and genuine with our love. We're coveting the gift. That's a whole other sermon. I'm not going there. It's not that the power of the Holy Ghost promised in Acts 1:8 to us, right, has not been received, but he's most often activated by love. Okay? Folks, the power behind your gifting is waiting for love to energize it so the Holy Ghost can express it. One of the Holy Spirit's primary activities is to continually pour out love within the believer's spirit, knowing that it's a catalyst for power. The Holy Spirit doesn't want you to be caught unawares. He doesn't want you to be powerless. The last thing he wants us to do is to be hypocrites by going up to somebody and says, I want to pray for you right now, and in the name of Jesus, be healed. And nothing happened. Right? So God's got to be constantly at work in us, giving us something that's going to help energize or be a catalyst towards that end. And it says in the scripture, Romans 5:5. And hope does not disappoint. That means expectation. If we're expecting it, it shouldn't disappoint us. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So that's saying that love, as it's being compassion, as it's being activated, as you're doing things genuinely and not religiously, we're going to see more of the power of God at work. But you got to check your love and the motivation behind it. So you can conclude then by this, that cold love is powerless. Ooh. Cold love is powerless. A Christian's love can grow cold towards others because of all the lawlessness they experience in the world. All the disappointments you experience. You're born into families where mom and dad weren't so hot. Blown away. There's so many things that can blow us away as Christians to just tell us, well, God's not there. He didn't care about me. This is what happened. If he's sovereign and he knows exactly where you were, when you were, and how you were, and he did you before the foundation of the world, knew what family you were going to get born into and stuff like that, if you're pursuing him, ultimately you're going to find that divine purpose. Because God makes no mistakes.
Thank you, Jesus.
We may think he does, but he makes no mistakes. So hang in there. Don't abandon him, because he'll never leave or forsake you. That's what the word says. A Christian's love can grow cold because of all the junk in the world right now that happens to us. We must hate the sin. When somebody has wronged you, you must hate the sin, but the Bible says love the sinner. I'm here to tell you that at one point in time in my life, you would have hated me. I wasn't always walking the walk. And I'll tell you right now, none of you are always walking the walk. We went through our own junk and praise God, somebody was praying for you. Or you went somewhere in some church service, or you were somewhere where you finally made the decision to decrease and let God come into your life and take over. But before that, we were all doing something probably we shouldn't do. And even as Christians, we're still doing things we shouldn't do. Praise God for the cross, where we're forgiven 70 times 7. It's all about your heart. It's all about your heart. Hate the sin, love the sinner. Matthew 24, 12. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. He told us. He told us. As you see things around you and circumstances not working out just the way you want them, where are you, God? Ah, you should have been here for my finances. You should have been here for my house. You should have been here for my loved one. You should have been here. Where were you, God? Same place I was when I had my son hanging on the cross. There are things that happen. The world turns, and it's not the soap opera I'm talking about. Stuff happens. God's not up there with a light going, you go, stop, go, stop, go, stop. Can he intervene? Yes. But for the most part, we create the circumstances we're in. Or somebody else does. And people act interacting with people. But we need God and know that he's with us in order to be able to navigate through all of that. I don't know how people do it without it. I really don't. Do not let love that is not returned. Listen to me now. Do not let love that is not returned to you. When you extend love and it's not returned back, do not let it harden your heart. The word in Matthew 24:12 for love here is agape. Agape does not require a return for your investment of love. That's the difference between God's love and friendship love, which we'll be talking about another time. It's called phileo. City of Philadelphia, phileo, Philadelphia, friendship love. Friendship love, when you extend your love as a friend, has to be returned. Or you're not going to have, you don't have to be everybody's friend, but we got to love people. Jesus had the multitudes, Jesus had the 12, Jesus had the 3, and then he had the one who leaned on his breast, right? He had a hierarchy of who he really brought into that relationship, a friend. Come on. So this love thing is important. If it's not returned to you, it doesn't matter if it's not. You're still commanded to love that person. They may not be your friend. Let circumstances happen. If they robbed you, they'd probably go to jail. But forgive them, don't hold bitterness in your heart, and love and pray for them. Because it could have been you who robbed it and wants the second chance and finds God in prison. We got to turn this thing around and just stop hating people who just wrong us all the time. Because I thank God, nobody hate, that wasn't me. Matthew 5, 43 to 48. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Wow, that's a real twist from the world. So that you may be sons of your Father. In other words, so that, you know what? He knows that the Holy Spirit lives in you, who is in heaven. For he causes us the sun to rise on evil and the good. In other words, things happen. And he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And ain't going to walk, you got to have an umbrella like everybody else, folks. For if you love those who love you, easy. What reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same thing? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than other people are doing, right? Don't even the Gentiles do the same thing? Therefore, you're to be perfect. Whoa, that is a big, high, huge calling for a Christian. And we'll get to perfection when we get home. But until then, you are a work in progress. But we are supposed to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, because ultimately we will be. He's going to make us that way when we get there. Until then, well, we put up with each other, right? Romans 12, 14 to 21. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. How many times do we do that when you're cut off in a car? Rejoice in those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Don't be haughty in mind. That means proud. But associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Don't turn away from people. Don't have partiality just because maybe they're not the same economic status as you are, or don't dress the same way you do. Never pay back evil for evil to anybody. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. In other words, God's saying, hey, don't worry about it. I got this. You stay at peace so your body doesn't release chemicals to make you sick. I can handle it. I don't get sick. Beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it's written, vengeance is mine. He has created us. He knew us before the foundation of the world. I think he can take care of your problem child or friend or whoever. But if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For if so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Wow. What does that mean? He's just going to come under a heavy burden. Why are you doing this for me? And who knows? He may go to his knees. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Hello, I'll give you a little hint. We win in the end. So in closing today, how can we look and love with compassion like Jesus did? How can we look and love like Jesus did? How can we develop our ability in order to project love to others, regardless whether that love is returned or not? Okay, Pastor, big deal. You said all this stuff. How do we do it? How do I turn the other cheek? How do I let those people who have hurt me in life just give them to God and let it go? Number one, first thing you got to do is rid your heart of all bitterness. Go through it real quick here to close up. This is the answer for what we just preached. Rid your heart of all bitterness. Folks, nothing quenches love faster than unforgiveness and bitterness. You release bitterness and unforgiveness, and you know what you're doing? You're releasing chemicals in your body that will cause cancer. It's medical fact. Root of bitterness causes cancer. You go into any medical journal, you'll see it. Because you've got that internal rage which increases, it just secretes chemicals in your body that causes your body to destroy itself. So the first thing you need to do is rid yourself of all bitterness. Number two, fill your heart with love for God. You want to know how to love other people? That's what we're talking about, right? How do we project love to other people? Well, you got to get rid of the bitterness first, right? But then how do I love them? I don't have that kind of love. I don't like them. You got to have God's love. So in order to do that, you got to fill your heart with love for God. If you don't know God loves you, how can you give what you don't have? If you don't know that there's a real God and he's a real Father in heaven and he really is watching over your life, how can you give what you don't have? Prayer and worship enable us to express love to God. What we did this morning, we can sit there and go through the motions, or we can just disregard everybody around us and direct our attention to him. Listen to the words, because I'm hopefully playing words that are directing you to that God that we serve. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name is how everything starts. Jesus starts with praise. Hallowed, reverence. God, we recognize you're real and you're here and you live in me, and I'm just letting myself out before you this morning. I don't care if people worry about whether my hands are in the air or if I'm on my knees or if I'm on my face. I don't care what you guys think. I'm here to worship God. And then we can worship with each other. You know, I obviously minister to one another in the rest of the service, but the first thing we need to do is worship him. So fill your heart with the love of God. Do it through prayer. Pray private. He sees you when you're in your closet. Doesn't matter. If you're singing in the shower, nobody else is going to hear you, but God will. He likes the song you're singing, whether or not you are on tune or not. Prayer and worship enable us to express God directly. Brag on the Lord and his goodness is how I put it. Number three, ask the Lord to fill your heart with his love for people. Woo. Ask the Lord to fill your heart with his love for people. God is really into people. Folks, the evil which permeates society is enough to turn us all off to the human race, right? But God just keeps loving the world by giving his sons, us, to bring them to his son, Jesus Christ. Folks, we're the church. If somebody's going to hear about Jesus Christ, God has chosen the church to be that vehicle. There's not those prophets of old that are standing on street corners and shouting out, repent or burn or whatever, turn or burn. You know, that's what, it's the church that's bringing the love of Jesus to the people. It's a new covenant. It's a new testament. When he put his son on the cross and his, or he voluntarily went, love, which is what God is, became fully known. The mystery was revealed. And that's what we're to do. We're to ask the Lord to fill our heart with that kind of love for his people. When we find ourselves among complete strangers wanting to witness, just love on them. And they'll begin conversing with you. And then you can share the gospel. If not, oh well. But that's what you need to do. Number four, pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. That comes from Jude 20, verse 21. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. When we were praying up here for Teresa, somebody was praying in tongues. Your sister? Yeah. You were praying in tongues, okay? When you get an answered prayer and that compassion and that love is going, you know, you might babble. You may not make any sense to anybody. You're just so internally on fire for that, what you want to happen, that tongues begin to come out. And it's not you really when you're really on that fire. It's the Holy Spirit expressing that compassion and that love towards whatever you're praying for. And that's called praying in the Spirit. And it scares the you-know-what out of people. And they get out of those front doors and they never want to come back. But it's part of who we are as Christians and we have to accept it. Praying in the Holy Spirit is just when God takes over and you've left it in his hands. And it doesn't happen with everybody all the time. Billy Graham, I don't think, ever prayed in tongues, but he never disacknowledged it because it's in the Word. But when we do that, we know we're really seriously praying as the Spirit prays through us. Number five, focus on the individual while you're in prayer. Don't let your mind wander. If you're praying for somebody, focus on that individual. That's projecting love, transmitting the love of God you feel inside, praying for that person. Well, how do we do this? It comes through your tone of voice, your expression, and your genuine concern that can be sensed in the Spirit. And I can tell you it can be sensed in the natural. Somebody knows when you're up there faking it. Whether you're preaching, whether you're singing, whether you're praying, true discerning of spirits will know if you're the real deal or you're not. And even people that don't have that, if they see the expression, if they see your tone of voice, if you're hugging them, they're a complete stranger, and you're there, and you've got the tears rolling, and you're praying. I mean, come on. How can that not minister to somebody who doesn't know God? Focus on that individual. Communicate God's grace through your prayers, your preaching, your service, whatever. God draws to himself through love. Even God draws people to himself through what? Through this love, Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with what? Loving kindness. And number six, surrender yourself fully to the Lord. Big one. You cannot give away what you don't have. I said it already. In order to enter into love, God's presence, we must fully yield to him. That's the hardest part in this life. I want this much for me and this much for God. He's not into 99.99%. Or anything less. When God has you, you will do what he says, irregardless of what it costs you. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 8. Yieldedness is so tough. Now, do not stiffen your neck. He's talking to the people of God in the Old Testament, his people, like your fathers did. But yield to the Lord and enter his sanctuary, which he has consecrated forever. He set it apart, in other words, for you forever. And serve the Lord your God, that his burning anger may turn away from you. He was so tired of them saying, we love you, God, and doing their own thing. Your love, as Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. Don't think obedience is nailed to the cross. Obedience was not nailed to the cross. The penalty of sin was nailed to the cross. Hello? Yes. You can repent and be forgiven. That was nailed to the cross. But obedience, being obedient to the word of God, Jesus didn't say, oh, I'm negating that. Don't worry, you don't have to obey God anymore. I died for that. No, he died to take the penalty of sin for you. Yes. But that same level of obedience is still there. If not, as Jesus said in the New Testament, what? Even more. Don't just commit murder. Don't even think about it. Don't just commit adultery. Don't put your eyes on another woman like that. He's telling you, I'm taking it a step further. Pure in heart.
Yes.
Surrender. That's called surrender.
Yes.
And lastly, well, that is. That type of surrendering or yielding denotes an easy and spontaneously giving up. I'm going to say that again. Yielding means to spontaneously and easily give up. That means the war that's coming on between what you want to do and what you know God's asking you to do, you step back and say, you win, God. Because let me tell you, if you don't let God win, he gets mad. He likes to win. In fact, he wins all the time. He's undefeated. That's just the way it works, folks. Bottom line is, he's God and you're not. So when we have attitudes in our souls and habits and in our bodies which war against the spirit, after wrestling with it for a while, and we do, right, we generally surrender. But then there are some people who freely yield. Praise God to them, right, with no resistance. I admire people like that. God bless you all, for when you freely yield, love will freely flow. So I'll summarize how you can love people like Jesus did. Let go and let God. Just consider what life would be like if Jesus lived through you and me.